From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Welcome to today's Current Sports. What is up, beautiful people? We've got a great show in store for you all. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. It is February 29th, 2016. It is a leap day, folks. Yeah, we won't see February 29th again for 4 years, all right? So, yeah, take this one in, all right? Take it in, without a doubt. This is certainly a rarity. We've got a great show in store for you all, though, as we sort of, we're going to try, like we do each and every Monday, to recap all of the fiasco that happened in the sports world, including the Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams. They both were in action at the Breslin. The women on Saturday and the men on Sunday, they both got dubs over the weekend. We'll recap what took place, and we will be inviting, for the first time, live in our studio, Brandi Agee. That's right, Michigan State women's basketball sophomore guard. She will be live in studio to talk about what occurred triple overtime on Saturday against Ohio State. We'll also be inviting Darren Weiss, member of the MSU women's basketball scout team, to talk about that game and so much more. Of course, we'll recap the MSU men's game as they just put a whooping on Penn State yesterday. Also, we'll talk NFL Combine, hit you with weekend winners, talk high school girls hoop action. The postseason starts tonight for them. Can you believe that? That and so much more, folks. Call in and be a part of today's show, I should say. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. But hey, here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners, brought to you today by Mike Masson.
All right, thanks, Al. It's time for your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for this Leap Day, Monday, February 29th. The Michigan State men's basketball team cruised to an 88-57 victory over the Penn State Nittany Lions at Breslin Center Sunday afternoon. Spartans started a sluggish 3-for-15 from the floor, but then went on to hit 14 of their next 18 shots to gain an early cushion that would remain throughout. Denzel Valentine led MSU with 19 points, while Bryn Forbes and Deontay Davis had 15 apiece. Matt Costello recorded a double-double with 10 points and 11 boards. The Spartans will next head to New Jersey to take on Rutgers Wednesday night. The number 8 Iowa Hawkeyes fell victim to a road upset at the hands of Ohio State yesterday when the Buckeyes came out on top 68-64 in Columbus. OSU finished the game on a 12-2 run to pull off the stunning victory, which keeps alive the Buckeyes' chances of making the NCAA tournament, where ESPN's Joe Lenardi currently has them listed as the next four out. The loss for Iowa is their third in a row, dropping them into a four-way tie for second in the Big Ten and struggling for confidence heading into the final stretch of the regular season. Michigan went into the Kohl Center in search of a late resume-building win over Wisconsin. They didn't get it. Wolverines fell 68-57 to the Badgers, who were led by Bronson Koenig with 19 points. U of M's Zach Irvin led the team with 14 points. Wolverines may need a signature win over Iowa on Saturday or a run in the Big Ten tourney to secure an at-large bid in the Big Dance. Saturday was the final home game of the season for MSU women's basketball. The 20th-ranked Spartans faced the 5th-ranked Ohio State Buckeyes on senior day, and it was one for the books. 5th-year senior Jasmine Hines ended her career on a high note with her career-best 36 points and adding 11 rebounds into the mix as the Spartans registered a 107-105 triple OT victory over the Buckeyes. Spartans win their third straight and knocked off a top-ranked opponent for the first time since 2009. Let's not forget junior Ariel Powers. She added 23 points to the scoring list along with 16 rebounds and 9 assists. And Spartan Tori Jankoska hit the three-pointer that took the game into its third overtime. These Lady Spartans looking bright for the Big Ten tourney in Indy starting this Friday. Spartan football showed out at the Combine this past weekend. There were 7 Spartans that participated, featuring center Jack Allen, wide receiver Aaron Burbridge, defensive end Shalik Calhoun, offensive tackle Jack Conklin, quarterback Connor Cook, defensive tackle Joel Heath, and defensive lineman Lawrence Thomas. Some notable numbers, wide receiver Aaron Burbridge ran a 4.56 40-yard dash, as well as 20 reps on the bench. Offensive tackle Jack Conklin ran a 5-second 40, but 25 reps on the bench, and quarterback Connor Cook ran a 4.79. Today marks the annual trade deadline for the National Hockey League. Teams will have to send in their official trades by 3 p.m. this afternoon in attempts to improve their lineups for the playoff push. The Detroit Red Wings have already made one move. On Saturday, they sent defenseman Jakob Kindle to the Florida Panthers in exchange for a sixth-round draft pick in 2017. The Detroit Pistons continued their winning ways Sunday night, easily taking care of the Toronto Raptors 114-101 for their fourth straight dub. The final score wasn't even really that close. The Pistons were up by as many as 26 points in the fourth quarter, and for the fourth consecutive game, all five Detroit starters registered in double figures for scoring, led by Reggie Jackson with 19. The win places the Pistons into a virtual tie with Charlotte and Chicago for 7th and 8th places in the Eastern Conference. Next up for Detroit is a tough road matchup at San Antonio on Wednesday night, a place where the Spurs have not lost at home all season. Tonight marks the beginning of the postseason for girls high school basketball in the state of Michigan. District tournaments beginning tonight with the district finals set mostly for Friday evening. One of the area's toughest districts will take place at Waverly High School. CAAC Red co-champions DeWitt and Hazlitt are in the field, as is CAAC Blue champion East Lansing. The EL Trojans will face off with Hazlitt tonight, with the winner to face host Waverly on Wednesday. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, please call in at 517-355-9527. Now, let's get started with the show. Al?
We got all this controversy. There's no black nominees, you know? And people are like, Chris, you should boycott. Chris, you should quit. You should quit. You know, how come it's only unemployed people that tell you to quit something, huh? You know? No one with a job ever tells you to quit. So I thought about quitting. I thought about it real hard. But I realized they're gonna have the Oscars anyway. They're not gonna cancel the Oscars because I quit, you know? And the last thing I need is to lose another job to Kevin Hart, okay? Now, the thing is, why are we protesting? That's the big question, why this Oscars? Why this Oscars, you know? It's the 88th Academy Awards. It's the 88th Academy Awards, which means this whole no black nominees thing has happened at least 71 other times. Okay? You gotta figure that it happened in the 50s, in the 60s. You know, like, you know, in the 60s, one of those years, Sydney didn't put out a movie. I'm sure there were no black nominees some of those years, say 62 or 63. And black people did not protest. Why? Because we had real things to protest at the time. You know?
Thank you, Chris Rock.
Welcome to today's current sports.
I am your host, Al Martin. Happy, happy Monday. It is the beginning of your week. That's right. It is February 29th, 2016. And a big shout out to Mike Masson, who did a great job dwindling down our quick hit headliners, recapping the weekend that was in the sporting world here in Mid-Michigan and beyond. Thanks a lot, Mike. Fantastic job. And again, yeah, it was a big weekend. Not only were there a ton of sports to watch, but also the Oscars took place last night. Yeah, I watched it. Watched the entire thing, front to back. Chris Rock was absolutely hilarious. One of my favorite comedians of all time. He was fantastic. And, you know, I loved how he didn't, you know, of course, the big elephant in the room on the really brink of this year's Oscars was, of course,
the storyline that for yet another year, no black actors were nominated for an Academy Award. That was a big storyline. You know, everyone protesting. Jada Pinkett Smith, she really led the charge. That was really surprising. The wife of Will Smith, also one of my favorite actors out there in the game. But, you know, her calling out the Academy and saying, yo, this is ridiculous. You know, another year where there are no black Oscar nominees. This is crazy. We're not showing up. You won't see us there. And we're calling the African-American race to not show up. And Chris addressed the elephant in the room from the start of the show to the very end. And, you know, I love how Chris kind of put it in perspective. Yeah, this is the 88th one. And, yeah, there's been many times where no blacks have been nominated. So why this year? Why this year? And I think, you know, the reason behind this year getting so much controversy is because you had a lot of actors and directors out there protesting and saying, okay, this is crazy. Enough is enough. And the reason why is because it's happened, you know, back-to-back years now. It's crazy. You know, really no diversity at all. You know, I didn't see any Latinos nominated for any Oscars. No Asians, nothing. No diversity at all. And that's certainly a problem within the Academy. And Chris just did a great job of just kind of putting it all on the table and just tackling it head on. Simple as that. And probably my favorite part of his opening montage was just that all we are looking for is opportunity. That's it. Point blank, period. That was the most, you know, that's the statement that really stood out to me the most out of that 10-minute rant from Chris to start the show. It was fantastic, though. And a shout out to Spotlight for taking Movie of the Year. All the journalists out there, hey now. I don't know if you guys saw Spotlight, but it kind of just details how Boston journalists took down, or really just you know, talk about addressing an elephant in the room, really just, you know, addressed Priest out there, and that whole phenomenon of Priest, you know, sexually abusing young boys. I saw the movie and my jaw was on the floor, so it's certainly a deserved Movie of the Year in my opinion. Fantastic film. Also, Mad Max Fury Road took home probably the most hardware from last night. A fantastic film as well. So, you guys know I'm a big movie buff, so I certainly I watched the Oscars last night, and I thought it was a pretty, you know, despite what the ratings may say, because the ratings were down 8%, I believe, from last year's Oscars. Despite what the ratings may say, I thought it was a fantastic show, if you ask me, in my opinion. And, of course, if you guys have been tuning in to Current Sports throughout this month, of course, with this being the final day in the month, February 29th, Leap Day, folks, we get an extra 24 hours. An extra 24 hours in the calendar year. I hope you guys make the most of it. But, you know, if you've been tuning in throughout each and every Current Sports show throughout this month, of course, we have been dwindling down our very own Oscars countdown, if you will. That being the top sports movie of all time. Now, we actually are going to open up our phone lines because we have the top five. You guys have weighed in, and the top five sports movies, in your opinion, of all time, go like this. Number one, the Rocky series. Number two, Hoosiers. Number three, Rudy. Number four, the Mighty Ducks. And number five, coming at number five, Remember the Titans. Those are your top five movies that you have voted for day in and day out throughout this month here on the show. And today, we are going to finalize what is the number one movie out of those five. We are asking you guys to call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527 to call in and put your vote in for any one of those movies. Again, Rocky, I should say the entire Rocky series. That's tough to beat anyway. Number two, Hoosiers. Three, Rudy. Four, the Mighty Ducks. And number five, Remember the Titans. Go. While you guys are calling in and voting, let's start off today's show by talking about the Michigan State men's basketball team. What a beatdown at the Breslin Center yesterday afternoon. 88-57, your final in that game. And what's that old saying that you guys say so fluently? around this time of the year in the area. January, February, Izzo, April. Yeah, folks, with March looming now, this team is playing arguably the best basketball out of anyone in the entire country. Just a fantastic game from start to finish on both sides of the basketball. I was more so impressed with the way Michigan State, you know, the way they started that game. They went 3 of 15 from the floor to start that game. But then they got out of the funk, and this team started to dominate defensively. That defense led to some easy buckets in transition, and Penn State was never really able to recover. And what makes this game so much more intriguing now is that with this win, and looking at the landscape of the Big Ten standings now, the Michigan State men's basketball team, I can't believe I'm saying this, they are in position to possibly win a Big Ten title. I kid you not, folks. Looking at the math here, Michigan State, Maryland, Iowa, and Wisconsin all tied for second in the Big Ten Conference at 11-5. Are you kidding me? Numero uno, the top dog. Yeah, that's the Hoosiers. The Indiana Hoosiers, folks. They sit at 13-3. So, two games left here in the year. Michigan State, they will play Rutgers on Wednesday. Then, of course, wrap things up for the regular season against Ohio State, senior night, coming this weekend. So, two games left for Michigan State. For Indiana, again, 13-3. Michigan State, two games in back of the Big Ten leading Hoosiers. Indiana plays Iowa and Maryland. Two games that they certainly can lose. And if Indiana does, Michigan State could possibly, you know, win a share of that Big Ten championship. Are you kidding me? I can't believe I'm saying that. Iowa, and I've said this multiple times about Iowa, they lost their third straight. They lost to Ohio State yesterday. You know, we've seen the Hawkeyes knock down the door of the Big Ten year to start, but then refuse to go in the room. Okay, that's exactly what's happening right here. The Hawkeyes started so hot, started off so good, and now as the year winds down and we start to sniff March, Fran McCaffrey's team is starting to show its true colors. It's crazy. I just really can't believe it. I had to do a double take when I looked at the standings this morning, okay? So it's so interesting, folks. This year, and this is a word you are going to hear a trillion times throughout March Madness, the word parity. Parity, 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 parity. Everyone is going to be throwing that word around because it's so obvious and it's so true. Anyone can be beaten on any night. To put things in perspective, still to this day, Michigan State, a team that was once ranked numero uno in the world of college basketball, when you compare that team to other squads who have held that number one next to their name, Michigan State has held down that spot the longest out of any other squad. Pretty remarkable, right? Pretty remarkable. And it just puts in perspective just how crazy it's been this year. I noted how a few weeks ago, how in the span of 2 days, just 2 days, folks, we saw the number 3, number 4, number 5, and number 6 teams all get upset. It's been that wild in the world of men's college basketball. So I saw one analyst actually has Xavier taking on Michigan State in his way too early NCAA tourney bracket. And who knows? Hey, that can very well happen. Who knows? Of course, this is a team. Michigan State is a team that can certainly go all the way. They can certainly win the championship this year. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And Villanova, you know, they lost to Xavier, you know, over the weekend. So, I mean, you could just pick a team, folks. I mean, really, our brackets right now are in the trash before the tourney has even started, okay? It's that crazy in the world of men's college basketball. So, who knows? Michigan State, Villanova, Michigan State, Xavier, Michigan State, Kansas. I mean, you could put Michigan State in the finals because they can certainly get there. But who knows who they're going to be playing? Who knows? Michigan State could go out the first round. They could go out the second round. Nothing is going to surprise me this year, okay? But what a wild weekend. You know, you had the Spartan men handling business against Penn State on Sunday. Again, in my opinion, they look like the best team in the nation right now. Michigan State has won 8 of its last 9 games. The only loss in that span, an 82-81 overtime loss at Purdue. That's it. That's it, folks. And they lead the nation right now when it comes to sharing the rock, all right? 22 assists on 28 made buckets on Sunday. Really remarkable stuff. Shout out to Deontay Davis as well. He's a guy, you know, who right now when it comes to, you know, the National Basketball Association and the upcoming NBA draft, there are a few NBA scouts that believe that Deontay Davis can make that leap right now. There are a few NBA analysts out there right now that believe that Deontay Davis is a first-round pick. I don't know. You know, Deontay has been up and down this year. I think that he certainly could use the benefit of another year in college basketball just to polish those skills down low, to improve defensively, to add some bulk to his frame. And he's had some up and down games. We've seen games where he just completely explodes. He's a phenomenon on the defensive end as well as the offensive end. But there's been games where it's been a bit of a miss for Deontay. He's gotten into some early foul trouble and hasn't produced in the points column. But 15 points for him yesterday. He was a man amongst boys yesterday afternoon. I mean, and looking at who was guarding him, I mean Brandon Taylor, you know, he's a 6'6", undersized, quote-unquote, forward, who finished with 2 points. Fantastic defensive job done down low by Davis and Matt Costello. But really, no size to match up with Davis yesterday, and he took advantage of it. 15 points. We even saw him dive on the floor for a loose ball. We saw Lou Ross, Tum-Tum Naren diving on the floor for a loose ball. That is exactly what Tom Izzo is looking for around this time of the year. He wants to see his team strive to be tougher than their opposition on every single night that they play, period. That's what he's harping on. He wants his team to be tough. And you show that toughness by hustle and effort. And we saw that, you know, yesterday as well. I mean, Michigan State, even though they were up by like, you know, 1,000 points against Penn State, we didn't see the effort subside. We didn't see complacency set in. And that was also huge. Also, Matt Costello, who I mentioned, 10 points, 11 rebounds for him. His 11th double-double in his career, 8 of those coming in this season alone. And what more can I say about Denzel Valentine? I mean, he has the absolute, you know, world in love with him right now, okay? He is actually on pace to become the first player ever to average 19 points, 7 rebounds, and 7 assists since the NCAA made assist an official category during the 1983-84 season. Remarkable? I think so. So it's going to be a fun week. A fun week. A lot going on. A ton going on, to say the least. You got the Big Ten women's basketball tournament taking place this week as well. You got Michigan State men. They take on Rutgers in Ohio State. Ohio State on senior night. You got the high school girls basketball playoffs taking place and getting underway tonight. And on that same note, I want to let you guys know, I should have put this in our headliners, but Okemos is actually hosting the Class A beginning slate of games in the playoffs. The area's top 2 scorers are featured in that district and will meet opening night tonight when Western Michigan signee Cameron Reed and Holt take on Oakland University commit Autumn Kinsman and Mason. Okemos, which has been led by highly touted freshman Leah Hartman, and folks, we have a great feature coming your way, done by our very own Andrea Urban, that you don't want to miss. I'll keep you posted as the week goes on with that one. But and Everett are the other squads in the district. Jackson Northwest, which finished as the Interstate 8 runner-up, has put together the best season of the teams in this field, in this district. The only loss for Northwest, who went 18-2, have come to Class B ranked Marshall. So I want to make a note that high school girls playoffs start tonight as well, and you can catch the Class A district at Okemos High School starting tonight. But an exciting week. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. I'm probably going to get no sleep this week, okay? I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer for WKAR's Current Sports, hailing from Nollins. How you doing, Isaac Constance?
Doing great. What about the weather this weekend, Al? I got outside, played some basketball on the blacktop. That felt great. But
get out. Where at? Where'd you go?
Oh, it's just right outside the dorm, Shaw Hall.
Nice, man. You should have hit me up. You should have hit up Al Jordan so I can cross you up a little bit. But that's another story.
Right. Just like the first time, correct?
Right. Just like the first time.
Because that didn't happen. Yeah. Exactly. But anyway, so I was watching basketball all weekend, though. Michigan State versus Penn State. What a good showing from the Spartans, because it was the first game where they were really utterly dominant in all facets of the game, if you ask me. In the Big Ten, of course, against Rutgers, that was the case as well. But you mentioned Deonte Davis's performance and how he's hinted at being a top 20 pick in the NBA draft by some experts. And I don't think he's that high, but what he showed me this game was a totally different skill set. You saw him go 7 of 11, including hitting down a jump shot from maybe 18 feet out in the first half. That was very impressive to me, as well as just a little bit of added energy from his game. So that was very important for the Spartans. And, of course, that game would have gone anyway, no matter whether he had played that way or Denzel Valentine had an off game. Penn State just is not that good.
And no, I mean, but
that's one thing you've got to take into
right.
account.
Well, certainly. And, you know, it didn't help that Pat Chambers got ejected. I actually want to play a bite from Pat in just a sec. But first off, here was Izzo after that Michigan State win yesterday afternoon.
Guys inside came to play. And so I love a question on why I jumped Matt Costello or why BD. You know, it's those guys today, they played like men. And Schilling got a couple man rebounds. And that's a difference. And, you know, we play like that inside, our guards will be good enough. You know, Aaron Harris.
Yeah, again, that was Tom Izzo on the toughness of that front court and how pleased he was by the performance of his big men. And, you know, and it was so interesting listening to Tom Izzo's press conference after that game that this team is playing so good right now. And they played so well yesterday. And that, you know, Tom Izzo, he goes into the press conference and he wants to harp on two sides here, just like every coach in the postgame presser, what they did good and what they need to improve on. When it came to what they need to improve on, Tom Izzo was really, he was really grasping at straws, okay, folks? I mean, I think the only thing he really mentioned was, like, the zone offense.
Like, yeah.
That's how desperate he was to try and nitpick at something that his team needed to improve on. Because we know Tom Izzo, he's going to call out his team for something, but the zone offense?
Oh, Tom Izzo is never clueless or dumbfounded when it comes to finding mistakes. Finding positives? Yeah, he can be a little bit lost in that category, but finding mistakes, usually he's able to find something or another. But this was a near flawless performance from MSU. Last show, I mentioned how Denzel Valentine has played more than 36 minutes in so many of his past few games. This game, he only played 27. Big difference for the Spartans. They had this game in hand since the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, they certainly did. I also want to note, again, Pat Chambers, he got thrown out of the game. In the first half, he flipped his wig. He was not happy with a few calls in that first half. Double T, see you later. Hit the showers, Pat. And here is what he had to say.
These kids work so hard for us, for myself and my staff, and for Penn State, that we have to continue to fight, okay? And if I feel like that's being taken away from them, then I'm going to fight for them. I'm going to fight. My staff's going to fight. Our team's going to fight. And we're trying to build a culture. We're trying to change. We're trying to buck the system of being the brunt of everybody's jokes. So we're going to fight. The players are going to fight. I mean, I didn't watch the second half, unfortunately. I was on GameCast, so I don't know. I'll watch the film. But that's the way it's going to be moving forward.
You know, Isaac, that was just Pat being a competitor at the end of the day. In my eyes, I mean, you know, you're getting your brains beat in by Michigan State. There were a few questionable calls, definitely, but I don't think they were outlandish to the point where, you know, it warranted a reaction that we saw from Pat. But you're getting your brains beat in, and you know, you see a few moments where you feel like your team is getting the short end of the stick, and it just reached a boiling point, and he just lost it. Should he have been thrown out? Without a doubt. I mean, he really lost it. He looked like me my senior year of high school playing ball when we lost in districts, okay? That's how I used to be, all right? I've tempered down many, many times. But, you know, I get where Pat is coming from because this is a team that plays very hard on a nightly basis. This is a Penn State squad and a school that, frankly, isn't known for basketball. Pat is tired of the Penn State basketball brand not being looked at in a great light. And I get where he's coming from. And you want to stand up for your team. You want to stand up for your team, and you want to show them that, hey, if anything, your head coach has your back. I didn't have a problem with it, if you ask me. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal.
I loved it. I thought it was a great display from a head coach who really cared about his team. They were obviously going to lose that game. But technicals, you know, you can't underestimate their value sometimes. Sometimes it infuses a little bit of that needed energy into a team. And here that obviously wasn't the case. But there were some calls going against Penn State there. You saw Brandon Taylor only get 19 minutes under his belt before fouling out. That's their best player. So I thought
the reason with that is because, I mean, Brandon Taylor is 6'6". He's so small.
Yeah.
The only way to guard some of those big guys is you got to get physical with them.
Oh, yeah.
The NCAA game, though, doesn't allow you to get physical. You can't do that.
Well, they called a few offensive fouls, too, the, like, hooks, which were controversial, and I wasn't crazy about that. But I liked the reaction from Pat Chambers. This is a team that's only won 6 games in conference since he's been a head coach. So, I mean, he needs to change the culture, and showing this type of passion and energy and care for his team, that's the way to do it.
All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, hold on. I believe we have a vote for Rocky, though, right?
We do.
Is Jim still on there?
Jim's not on the line.
Okay, Jim's not on. Okay, we got to vote for Rocky. Okay, I thought Jim was on the line. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will have live in studio Darren Weiss, member of the MSU Women's Basketball Scout Team, and Brandy A.G., MSU Women's Basketball Sophomore Guard. You don't want to miss that and so much more. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-9527. You are listening to Current Sports. Welcome back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, happy Monday. Oh, Monday. I feel like that weekend just really flew by. If you want to be a part of today's show, you know that number, 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. Again, I want to remind you all that in honor of the Oscars, which took place last night. First of all, did you watch the Oscars last night, dude?
No, Al, you're the only one here that watches those celebrity TV shows. Come on.
Get out of here. Well, reality shows are like my getaway from everything. You know what I mean? It's my guilty pleasure. Like, I'm loving hip hop. I'm watching that. I don't know why I watch that show, but I watch it all the time. Basketball Wives, when that's on, dude. Yeah, it's like my guilty pleasure. I'm not ashamed. Does my man card get pulled away for that? I don't know.
Yeah, but, kind of. I mean, kind of.
But the Oscars, how does your man card get pulled away from watching the Oscars?
I'm not saying it does. Oscars is just
fine. Okay, you're talking about reality
TV. I'm just not a fan of the Oscars, though. I don't watch.
This is coming from a man talking about my man card. You listen to Taylor Swift, Isaac. Stop it.
You listen to Beyonce. Come on.
Stop it, man. All right. Well, when it comes to our Oscar rundown, I want to get your vote. Out of those 5 movies that we just dwindled down here, you got Rocky, you got Hoosiers, Rudy, the Mighty Ducks, and Remember the Titans. Where's your vote going?
My vote's going for Rudy, and that makes the score actually 2-1 because Ken from Lansing just chimed in and backed me up right there. So 2-1,
wow.
Rudy. It's going to upset Rocky.
I'm sorry, dude. That's not happening. That's not good. But Rudy's overrated, but I feel where people are coming from. It's a classic, so I get it. All right. Well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports, okay? This is actually her very first time on our airwaves. We're glad to have her. And actually, Darren has been a part of our squad, I believe it was, last semester, was that, Darren?
Yep, last semester.
Yeah, last semester, Darren was an outstanding beat reporter for us out of the Journalism 418 Hub. But Darren, if you guys don't know, he's a member of the Michigan State Women's Basketball Scout Team, Darren Weiss. Darren, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Al.
And we've got Brandy Agee. Welcome her to the show for the very first time, Michigan State Women's Basketball Sophomore Guard. Brandy, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I am fantastic. Glad to have you both on the show today. Now, first, I want to start today's interview by talking about the relationship that you guys have when it comes to the scout team and, of course, the women's basketball squad. Because I remember I was a rookie reporter when I just got out of college for WLNS TV6. I did a feature on the scout team, and just that cool connection that you guys have, Darren, with Brandy and the squad. Just kind of talk about how that relationship is between you two. Brandy?
I mean, it's kind of a love-hate relationship.
Is it? It's a love-hate relationship. Yeah. Expand on that.
I mean, they help us a lot, you know, with, having, like, players, you know, imitating the players from the other teams and stuff like that. You know, they might score on us. You know, we're very competitive.
Right. So, you have to be to play this game,
so,
right?
You know, we hit them at times, but, I mean, they do help us a lot, and that's how we get, you know, these big wins and... Yeah.
So you talked about the love part. What about the hate part?
I mean, the hate part.
Yeah.
Well, you put buckets on the mail.
She thought I was going to let her off the hook with that. Okay, what about the hate part?
We really don't hate them. I mean, come on.
Okay. So you were just talking then.
Yeah, I'm just talking.
Darren, what about you? When did you join the scout team? And what's that process like to become a member? You gotta be a pretty good ball player, I know.
Yeah. So I joined last year as a junior. It's my second season doing it. And I actually had a buddy at Michigan who's on their scout team tell me about it. And they're like, yeah, you should check it out. I'm sure Michigan State is the same thing. So I checked it out, and I went to tryouts last year at 6 in the morning, and there was probably 40, 50 guys trying out, and I had a good tryout, and it went well. But ever since then, ever since Brandy started checking me in practice, it's gone downhill.
So you guys are matched up during practices?
Well, I match up with a lot of the guards, so I'm on the ball, you know, either Morgan or Torrey, and then, you know, when we have other, you know, when coach wants bigger guards to, you know, pressure the ball, I'll go on the wing, and I'll either guard Brandy, Kara, you know, a little bit Ariel, but, you know, I match up with Brandy a lot.
That's a nightmare to guard them. So do you get the better of him most days, Brandy?
Yeah, I would say so.
No question about it. Gotta love that. All right, now I want to dive into what occurred on Saturday afternoon, because I'm sitting there and I'm filming this game and it goes to one overtime. I'm like, cool, one overtime. This is a great game.
Mm-hmm.
Then another overtime. So double overtime. I'm sitting there saying, no, it's not going to another overtime. Then it does. And then triple overtime.
Yes.
I mean, that game, I believe it was a 2 p.m. tip. I didn't get home till about 7 p.m.
Me too.
That's how crazy it was.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandy, kind of elaborate on that matchup, you know, and how big that win was for you guys, because this is an Ohio State team that came into that matchup mm-hmm. as number 5 in the entire nation.
Yeah, I mean, it was a huge win. We needed this one. They were playing for the Big Ten Championship, and if they would have won, it would have been on our court. And we didn't want that to happen. And plus, it was senior night, and we wanted to send our seniors off with a great win. And, you know, you saw Hines. She showed up, like, big time.
Mm-hmm.
And Akaya and Kara. And we just really fought for this game and really wanted to win. So, yeah.
Now, I got to know if this is true. I talked with Ariel after the game, like mm-hmm. a few minutes after the game, and she told me that one of the big motivating factors behind you guys wanting to pull this one out so bad was because if Ohio State did win, if they would have won that game on Saturday, they, of course, would have won the Big Ten championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Ariel told me that Susie told you guys that they reached out to her wanting to know if the locker room was big enough to celebrate. They wanted to know what the post-game situation was like, if they could celebrate on the court. Is that true?
Yeah, it is true. We took that to heart. We was like, they really think they're going to come in here and just win like that. And we were like, we really have to get this win now. Like, that gave us more, you know, grit to win and more motivation to get this win. So
that's true. They actually reached out to the head coach of the team to talk about losing.
Yes.
And if they lost, we want to celebrate on your court.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I mean, that's motivation right there. Like,
right. Without a doubt. I mean, put that in the bottle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Darren, what was your analysis of that game? I know, were you at the game?
Yeah,
triple overtime. I mean, what were your thoughts on how that thing unraveled? And again, put in perspective in your eyes how big this is for the team.
Man, it was just crazy. It was one of the craziest games, men or women's, I've ever been a part of. And, you know, it's, you know, learning Ohio State's plays the week before going into the game and then seeing them do it, you know, it sort of sets in and how cool this is. And, you know where the ball's going, you know where this is and that is going. And Jasmine came out and really had came out with a bang and, you know, wanted to leave on a high note. And she definitely did. And, you know, Torrey hit a huge shot, that turnaround, like 363. Brandy had a huge three at the end of the fourth quarter to help us out. And I could not, for the last like three overtimes and half the fourth quarter, I was not sitting down. It was just.
No one was. My heart was beating there as I held my camera. folks, call in to be a part of today's show, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We are chatting with Darren Weiss, member of the MSU Women's Basketball Scout Team, and Brandy AG, MSU Women's Basketball Sophomore Guard. Brandy, I want you to take me into and take our listeners into the huddle during those moments as it went to those three overtimes. What was said during those moments, and how chaotic was it?
We were just basically, I know everybody was exhausted. I mean, that was an hour-long game, and we just, you know, talked about, you know, just push it out, five more minutes. We're going to get there, you know, we're going to get this win. And, yeah, I mean, we just kept fighting, and, you know, we just didn't get tired.
What's it like guarding Kelsey Mitchell? She went off. I mean, she's one of the best scorers in the nation. She went 15 of 29,
yeah.
6 of 17 from the three-point line, 12 of 14 from the free throw line, 48 buckets. I mean, what was it like guarding her on that afternoon?
Tough. It was very tough. You know, I tried to do as much as I could to, you know, stop her from, you know, getting three-pointers and driving the basket, you know, with my length. I was, like, kind of
right.
A struggle for her.
Right, right.
You know, most of the time I could contest it without having to, you know, foul or anything. So, you know, it was very tough. She's a great player, and I'm glad we got the win. I mean, she did drop 40 on us, but, I mean, we still got the win, so.
Who's tougher to guard, her or Rachel Banham?
Oh, God.
That's a tough comparison,
that's
right?
That's a tough one. I don't know.
Because what Kelsey, I mean, she scored 48, and we had to go to triple overtime for her to score 48.
Yeah.
Rachel scored 52 in regulation, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's. I mean, they're both amazing players. I mean, I couldn't. They both are tough, just to say. I mean.
Certainly. And yeah. Darren, I got to ask you, how do you simulate a Kelsey Mitchell or a Rachel Banham in practice? That seems like mission impossible.
I mean, hell, you took the words out of my mouth. It is impossible. I mean, you know, they give me the number and they're like, okay, Kelsey Mitchell, you know what she does. She shoots threes and, you know, she's left-handed, goes to her left, and she doesn't miss. And it's hard to, you know, every time I get the ball, I'm shooting three, but I'm not shooting, you know, like she's shooting, you know?
Right, exactly.
And it's just so tough. Like, yeah, like Banham too. Like, these girls are just so strong and physical, and the way they get to the hole, their inside-out game, you really got to almost play honest on them, and it's just really tough. I mean, you saw it, you know? I don't
You're
have
sweating
to
right
it.
Now thinking about it, dude. Yeah. I can see it.
I don't like getting those assignments. I like the assignments, you know, the spot-up shooters that stand in the corner.
Right, exactly, right? It makes your job much easier. Right. Now, I want to elaborate, of course, on what this game meant for not only the team when it comes to postseason implications. You guys finished ideally in the top four in the Big Ten.
Mm-hmm.
Now have a double bye going to the Big Ten tournament, which I believe is in Indianapolis, Indiana, right?
Yes, it is.
And also, not only that, you know, it sets you guys up for greatly for postseason play, but it was also senior day. Akaya Taylor, Kira Miller, and Jasmine Hines bidding the Breslin adieu. Brandy, what have they meant to this program throughout your tenure with the squad?
They meant a lot. I mean, for Akaya to come back after, you know, leaving us her sophomore year and then to come back senior year and be such an impact for our team with her hustle, defense, and then we have Jasmine Hines who came back off you know, two concussions. And for her to dominate this year, I mean, we're just very excited to have them back. And then also Kara, you know, she has a lot of energy. She's a great teammate, and she can knock down shots too when we need her to. And she played defense on Kelsey too
she
in the
did.
Game.
I saw
so
that.
I mean, yeah, she's a. I mean, all our seniors were very proud of them. They really had an impact on our team. So yeah.
Did you foresee Jasmine having the type of game that she had this weekend? I know Ariel and Tori struggled starting off. I mean, how surprising was that to see Hines get off down low?
I mean, it's not a surprise. We knew going into the game when we played Ohio State the last time, Hines, they struggled guarding Hines. So we knew, like, coming in the game, we have to get it inside. And when Hines, you know, kept making layup jumpers and stuff, we like, okay, now we know the plan. Get it inside. And, I mean, do whatever you want to do, Hines. As long as it goes in, you know, foul and one, anything, you know, just get it inside. And that was our plan.
Darren,
and it worked.
Yeah, it definitely did. Now, Darren, what do you think the legacy of those three individuals is when people look back at the tenure of Taylor, Miller, and Hines? What do you think those three will be remembered for?
Oh, I mean, everyone comes with a different story. Like B said, you know, like Akaya, you know, starting and finishing here. And, you know, she had a lot of work to do to get back here. You know, Kara staying here all 4 years and, you know, really toughing it out through the ups and downs. And Jasmine, you know, coming back from injury, you know, fifth year. It's tough staying around 5 years and having to sit out, not your first year, but your fourth year and really watch. And, you know, they mean so much to this program and this team. And, you know, I bet, you know, Brandy can say the same thing. All the girls really, you know, bond around them. You know, they're sort of the catalyst. Mm-hmm.
They certainly are. All right, guys, I'm getting word that we actually have a question from one of our listeners right now. We've got Jody from Bloomfield Hills on line one. Jody, how you doing, brother?
Hey, how's everybody doing over there today?
Oh, sister, I'm sorry. Welcome to the show. We are doing fantastic. What about you?
Hey, we have a question for Darren Weiss.
Yes, what is the question?
We follow him a lot. We've heard him do interviews and sports announcing. He sounds amazing. We'd like to know what he plans on doing in his future and if he's going to have his own show one day.
Great question, Darren. What are your future goals, my man? Jody, thanks a lot for the question.
That's a good question. I'm still trying to figure that out. Maybe I'll represent Brandy when she goes to the WNBA.
What do you want to do? Do you want to be a sports agent?
You know, I've entertained the thought, but, you know, I've taken a lot of film classes here, and I really like that industry, so maybe go out to L.A. for a couple years, try that out. I got a lot of, you know, friends that play collegiate sports, and, you know, maybe one day, you know, I'll go to law school and try that sports agent route, so we'll see, you know?
Okay. And, Brandy, what about for you? I mean, of course, I can imagine that the goal is the WNBA, and you had such an interesting tenure yourself here at Michigan State. You tore your ACL. As a freshman, then you come back, and you've really blossomed this year.
You.
I mean, I didn't know you had game like you do.
Oh, yeah.
You know, until this season, I had no idea. You've really been, you know, the added head to now this, you know, what used to be a two-headed monster for Michigan State and, and Ariel Powers and Torrey Jankowska, but you've come out of nowhere, and now you've created this three-head monster on a nightly basis. What are your goals within the game and beyond it?
My goal is just to play as hard as I can and give whatever my teammates need from me, whether it's defense, offense. You know, I worked very hard to come back off of these injuries, and I had a lot of support from them. So I knew coming back that I love this team, and I really want to, you know, do whatever I can to, you know, help this team out. So,
what was it like battling back from that injury?
It was very hard. I mean, I had my ups and downs, my doubts and stuff coming back, but when I had a lot of support from my family, teammates, the coaches and everything, and it's all about, you know, I love this sport. I love to play basketball, so just having that determination to, you know, come back.
You know, Brandy, when I hear about ACL injuries in on any level, in any sport,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people talk about the mental hurdle that it is to overcome that. I mean, because you're constantly thinking about that knee. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't want to make an errant cut that could possibly buckle the knee. You know, Derrick Rose is an example that's constantly brought up. Some of the examples that, you know, lean towards the positive side of things are one of, like, Adrian Peterson. I mean, he just goes out there and just plays and tries not to think about it. Mm-hmm. Did you have to overcome that mental hurdle? Were you thinking about it when you first came back from that ACL injury?
No, I didn't, actually. In my mind, I was just thinking, like, you know, if I think about it, then I'm going to get hurt. But if I just go out there and just play, and, you know, it's all in God's hand. Put it all in God's hand. And, you know, if it's meant for me to tear it, then it's meant for me to tear it. But if it's not, then, you know, so be it.
The right mindset to have. I tell you, what's it like playing with Ariel and Torrey?
It is great. I love playing with them. There's so much energy. Ariel, oh, God. Yeah.
she's a pit bull out there, isn't she? Oh, my goodness.
Sometimes, I swear, like. Yeah, she's very fun to play with, her and Torrey, and I'm very glad that I was able to, you know, be on the same team as them.
Yeah, Al, and just adding on that, it makes Ariel and Torrey's job a lot easier with Brandy back, and, you know, for the people that, you know, may not follow the team as much, you know, every day last year I saw Brandy working hard at practice, said, I'm going to get back out there, and some of the girls are telling me, yeah, you just wait to see how good she is, you know, she can go both ways, she can finish with both hands on off of either feet. She can shoot the outside. She can drive in. She can go on the pull-up. She switches on the 1-4 defensively. She's a lot to this team, and she's a huge addition back, you know, sort of that, like you said, that third-headed monster, that scoring threat.
Yeah, she certainly blossomed this year. She went 5 of 13 for 14 points this past weekend. She continues to really just turn heads. So I want both of you now to sort of take us in to try to take us in this whole March Madness scenario. Where do you think this team will and should be seated come tourney time after the Big Ten tournament is said and done? Does it really depend on what happens in the Big Ten tournament? Brandy, start, and then Darren, we'll finish off with you.
I think, like, if we do get a good win, if we win the Big Ten tournament or whatever, we will, you know, get a good seating in NCAA. But
are you guys shooting for any seating in particular, any number in particular?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, but we do want a good seating, and, yeah, we just pray.
What's the toughest part about March Madness?
The different competition, you know. You know, it's different teams and different conferences, and you never know or expect, you know, how these teams play because you're so used to playing in your conference. So, yes,
it's taxing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is very taxing.
Darren, what about you, my man? When looking at this squad, where do you think they will sit come NCAA tourney time?
You know, we finished top three in the Big Ten, and, you know, the Big Ten's a good conference for the women's. You know, it's a top two conference in the country, and I really can't see anything lower than a sixth seed. And if I, you know, Brandy, what do you think? If we can win the Big Ten championship, I could see a low two, high three, you know, anything between, you know, a three and a six. So I think we're in good shape right now. We have a double bye going into the Big Ten tournament, and, you know, it can only go up from there.
And I believe Maryland won it last year.
Yeah.
And they went all the way to the Final Four last year as well. Is Maryland that team that everyone's chasing in the conference?
Yes, it is.
Without a doubt. You want that revenge, huh?
Yes, we do.
All right. Well, I tell you what, it's been fun having you guys on again. MSU sophomore guard Brandy Agee and MSU women's scout team member Darren Weiss. Guys, you got to come back. This was fun, all right? You guys are going to come back on the show very soon?
Yes, we will. It was.
All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, hey, no problem. Appreciate you guys having you guys on. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports by hitting you with weekend winners and, again, giving you a brief preview of high school girls hoop season, all right? Postseason, I should say. So don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just tidbit of breaking news here. Looks like Tom Brady and the New England Patriots have agreed on a new deal that will extend Brady's contract through the 2019 season. ESPN's Adam Schefter is reporting that. All right, folks. Well, we have less than 10 minutes left here on the show, about 5 minutes left to be exact. And we love to close out each and every Monday here on WKAR's Current Sports with a segment we entitle Weekend Winners, where we look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and bring to you who we thought reigned triumphantly. Here we go.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, it is time for Weekend Winners, where we take a look at the weekend that was in the world of sports and beyond, and bring to you who we thought had the best weekend. All right, I want to start with, of course, the obvious picks here. First off, the Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams both getting big wins over the weekend, and now the Michigan State men have an opportunity to possibly pull out a Big Ten championship. They will need Indiana to lose to Iowa and Maryland. We'll see what happens there, but congratulations to Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant for a weekend well done. Also, after I covered that Michigan State women's basketball game that, again, went to triple overtime, I got home around 7:30-ish, and I tuned in to what I think was the best NBA game of the year. It pitted the Oklahoma City Thunder against the Golden State Warriors. Steph Curry. I mean, what more can you say about this guy? All right, I believe we even have a bite of what he did.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining. The brilliant shooting of Stephen Curry continues. And he ties the NBA record with his 12th three-pointer of the game.
You got to be kidding me. What more can we say about Steph Curry? Unbelievable what we are witnessing. It's a game that went down to the wire, and in my opinion, I thought that Kevin Durant really gave that game away, though. Kevin Durant with an errant pass that led to an Andre Iguodala foul. Kevin Durant did foul on that play, so he throws the ball away. He fouls Andre Iguodala. Iguodala goes to the line, nails both free throws. It goes to overtime, and Steph Curry just pulling up 38 feet, I think it was, 35, 38 feet, somewhere in that range. Nailing it, nothing but the bottom. Game over, let's go home. Steph Curry, it's so fun watching that kid play. Isaac?
Yeah, I can't really say another weekend winner. I guess a loser would be Iowa, but I want to talk more about Steph Curry because what this guy's doing, it's unprecedented, it's unbelievable, and it's really the first time all season we've seen somebody who really looked unstoppable, if you ask me. Steph Curry pulling up from the logo. That was from the midcourt logo, hitting it. Guy online tried replaying that in NBA 2K.
I saw that.
When you talk about a video game shot, he couldn't do it. Video games cannot represent what Steph Curry does for this Golden State Warriors team.
Check out what he did on Saturday. Tied NBA single game record with 12 three-pointers in one game. Broke NBA single season record for three-point field goals at 288. Fifth career game with 10 three-point field goals. No other player has more than three. First NBA player in NBA history with 10 three-point field goals in back-to-back games. And third consecutive 40-point game. The longest streak of his career. What we are seeing is rare. I don't know if Steph Curry... First off, I don't think Steph Curry can keep this up throughout his entire career. So we better enjoy this because I think defenses are going to start to hone in if they haven't already. I mean, it's kind of late to the party, right? But if they haven't already, they are really going to start to key him. He's going to be double-teamed multiple times throughout much of every single quarter of every single NBA game. So we need to sit back and enjoy what we're watching, Isaac.
Well, and how about this coming in the wake of the Big O, Oscar Robertson's comments that Curry would not do this in the 70s or 80s or whenever. This is an answer because there is no defense, no matter how physically you play, how up in the jersey you are, that can stop that shot that he hit at the end of the game or some of the ones he hit to lead himself to that point. Now 288 threes on the season. Are you kidding me? Breaking his own record and with games to play.
Yeah, Oscar, he just sounds like a grumpy old man at this point. I mean, come
on,
dude.
I think he is.
Yeah, come on, man. All right, well, with that, we are out of time, unfortunately, on today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Much thanks to Darren Weiss, Brandy Agee, Andrea Urban, Connor Ryan, Mike Masson, Isaac Constance, the whole crew. We'll be back at it on tomorrow's show. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.